Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The final race of the 2023 Formula 2 season has come to an end, and it went down to the wire to crown our champions. Welcome to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia, and today we're here to discuss the Abu Dhabi F2 race weekend and any new news in the new driver lineup for next year. Joining me today, we have Grid Talk co-host George Harrelson.
Hello.
Hello, Sophia. Good evening. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, lots to cover. So much went on in the weekend, and then so many driver change-ups, and the rumor mills already started for the Formula 2 and Formula 3 season.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss. Obviously, yeah, we had season ender in Abu Dhabi. That was suitably dramatic and typical F2 style. And now their attentions shift towards 2024 for F3 and F2.
100%. And before we get into this episode, we got to thank our sponsor, which is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device, use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And also, make sure you're following us on all our social media channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with this show and also our sister show, Grid Talk, which covers Formula One. As mentioned, the final race came to an end, and we had a handful full of drivers that also took place in the free practice session in F1. While some drivers were able to put the softs on and push for some great times, some of them supported the teams with the data collection. So before we talk about Formula 2, let's just round up of how the free practice happened. Felipe Drugovich, was the highest rookie. The Formula 2 2022 champion was coming in second behind George. He was in Alonso's Aston Martin this time around. Ferrari's Robert Schwartzman came in second in the rookies, finishing P8 in the Ferrari. Frederick Vesti, one of the 2023 title contenders, was in the other Mercedes, finished in P12. Jack Doohan in the Alpine finished P13. Other title contender, Théo Pourchaire, was in replacement for Zhou Guanyu, and he finished P14. Pato O'Ward, who has been announced for the 2024 McLaren reserve driver position, was in Lando Norris's McLaren and was finishing P15. Jake Dennis was in Max's Red Bull. Would not want to be in that. That's a lot of pressure. He finished P16 alongside Isaac Haja, who was in the other Red Bull in P17. Zach O'Sullivan was in the Williams for Albon, finished P18, and Ollie Bearman was at the bottom in P20. However, there was the other Haas driver next to him in P19 for Kevin Magnussen. What's your take of the rookie test? I think it's quite an interesting one, but some of these guys I wouldn't consider a rookie. Jake Dennis, for example, he is the reigning Formula E champion. If Felipe, that makes a lot more sense, but yeah, it's quite an interesting one to see. What's your take on it, George?
Yeah, there's a lot of names that we know from a lot of different series. Pato Ward's the big one from IndyCar. You would not really call him a rookie in any sense of the word, but very impressive for him as well with that. And like you said, getting the reserve driver status for McLaren, that's huge. I think the thing that's going to work against him, though, is the fact that you've got Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri in that team, as I have spoke about many times, being that McLaren's lineup for potentially 10, 15 years of how young they are. So it's like, where do you put him if he wants to come into F1? I mean, for a lot of these guys, it's going to be a chance for them to get in the car, see how they do, the teams to see how they can go, like, being consistent and all that, get some super license points, which is one of the most complicated systems that nobody really understands, but everybody tries to figure it out. The FIA allegedly know how it works, but that would be a very good thing for them to try and get into a full-time F1 drive. I mean, obviously, I've just actually got the Autosport report up here, and I've noticed that Mick Doohan has resurrected his MotoGP career and was in the Alpine. They've obviously got him mixed up with Jack, his son.
It's like the Paul De Vries. I was in Formula One at the bottom of the standings when it was Paul Aaron, but in a Trident Estonian in Formula One.
Or it could have been the actor Aaron Paul. Who knows at that point, really? I won't rule anything out. Jesse's a man of many talents. But yeah, I just thought I'd note that. But yeah, no, it's great to see some of these guys do that and obviously get some experience in the F1 car. And like you said as well, the guy in the Red Bull for the Max Verstappen's car as well. That's a big thing that for Jake Dennis. But it's great to see someone else in FE get a chance as well, because I don't think Nick De Vries did that series any favours with his time in F1. So I hope someone can come from FE into F1 and be a success. Hopefully that doesn't muddy the waters for that series. So a lot going on there, obviously.
Yeah, and you had some of the drivers move over to Formula E, and we'll get into it as well, because we have some of the Junior Series drivers actually switching from Formula 2 into Formula E for next season. Also, as well, some of these rookies are taking place in multiple different postseason testings. It was the F1 testing, which was also the rookie testing postseason, followed right after it, starting today at the time we're recording, which is the 29th of November. It is the Formula 2 postseason testing as well. So, lots of 100% getting some new data. There's some new driver pairings for it to see who's going to take those remaining seats, because there's still some seats available for the 2022 season. Now, looking back to Abu Dhabi, in pole, Jack Doohan, in his final Formula 2 race of his career, he was able to take the pole. However, some key things to mention: Teo Pourchaire finishing in P14. He did say in the press conference that there was an issue in the car and could not push for the fastest lap. Alongside that, with the sprint having the reverse grid, Frederick Vesey, his other contender, was on the front row, having secured P9 in quali. He was able to join with Enzo Fittipaldi for the sprint race. Owasa, as mentioned in the previous episodes, was in contention for the title. However, because he did not take pole, he was knocked out of contention. I believe he was like P6 or P7 in qualifying. So too much of a gap in the points for him to battle it out with Vesti and Teo. But did you catch any of the F2 races in the qualifying? I know on a Friday, it's so difficult for us, for those at work. I have it like on my screen, on my TV, like next to my work laptop, so I can watch it in between. But I was glued to it and seeing Teo. I think he started P6 and then was just like tumbling down the order towards the end, and in the end finished P14, which put him out of the reverse kind of grid order as well.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't actually watch them live this time. I wasn't able to do that. Like you say, it's quite difficult when we were particularly on the Friday for the qualifying, but Yeah, it was an exciting weekend overall for F2. I did say that my bold prediction was Porsche not finishing the sprint race. Didn't quite manage that. Still got seventh, still got a couple of points, managed to sneak in there. Did not have a particularly good weekend overall, but it was enough for him, obviously, as we'll get on to.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on to the sprint race, I said it was going to go down to the wire, and it was, as Vesti was able to convert a front row start to win the sprint in the pretty much closing the gap to Teo for 16 points going into the Sunday race. After dropping down to fourth, he was able to fight back and was able to take the lead with two laps remaining, winning his sixth race of the season and also getting the fastest lap. Enzo Fittipaldi came second, and Richard Vachon was able to secure third. As mentioned, Teo Pourchaire was able to get seventh. He was able to get the last bit of points, as in the sprint race, only the top eight was able to get it. So was able to have some damage limitation given that he started P14. I enjoyed watching the sprint race. I think the fact, I would say the feature race was a lot more heavy compared to the sprint race. So we're going to go straight on to it. In the feature race, Vesti needed Teo to finish P10 or lower, and Vesti himself needed to get a podium and the fastest lap to secure the championship. While he was able to get the podium, he did not get the fastest lap thanks to Teo's teammate, Victor Martins. And also in the end, Teo finished P5, securing the gap needed to win the championship. Oh my god, it was down to the wire because Vesti wasn't even in P3. It went to like almost the last two corners. He was battling with Zane Maloney for that final spot, and they actually collided, and Zane Maloney actually spun. He was able to get back again, and it was fine. But obviously, I didn't keep his P16 or something down on the grid. But Vesti didn't have as much damage and was able to secure that last podium. But it was a race from pole. Doohan was able to win his last F2 race. He actually had the most feature race wins than any other driver this season. Joining him was Victor Martins, as mentioned. And was also able to get the Rookie of the Year award, Victor Martins, which was also attributed to the late Antoine Hubert. With the podium and Teo finishing P5, ART was able to win the Constructors' battle against Prema. Ollie Bearman, who was also in battle with Victor Martins for the Rookie, actually DNF'd due to some engine problems and to pull into the pits, and actually closed the pits briefly, which was a big problem because some of the drivers like Vesti needed to pit to change the tire strategies, because some of them went on different strategies. Some of them started on the softs, some of them started on the mediums, and seeing which can go the longest. What was your take on it? I enjoyed it because I was like, it went down to the last couple corners with Vesti because I wasn't even paying attention to Teo's position. It was more like Vesti could get podium and he could get fastest because he pitted for the softs in order to take the fastest lap, having started on the mediums compared to Teo, who started on the softs and finished on the mediums.
Yeah, Vesti just had nothing to lose, basically. I think that was even a radio message at some point. You got nothing to lose, just go for it, mate. And he went for it. It didn't take any prisoners. And unfortunately, Zane Maloney, a guy that I think I was going for a podium in my predictions for the feature race, which he could have got had he not had that collision, and ended up finishing the race, but well down the order, like you said, out of the points. Yeah, of course, it was nail-biting, and I'm sure that Porsche, from his POV, because he was sick for that time before Maloney fell down the order, would have been thinking, I'm gonna hold on here, I hope, because Vesti was just going for it. But at the front, it was relatively straightforward for Jack Doohan. He got third place. He went over Ayumu Owasa in the driver's standings by the end of the season. So great for him. Great season for him overall. Fantastic. Great season for Vesti as well, getting all those wins with Porsche. Just the consistency. Just like Colapinto in F3, didn't get that many wins. Porsche only with one win, and that was on the opening weekend. Didn't win for the rest of the season, but like a lot of things, it's consistency. Just being there with the podiums, the strong points finishes. That's what did it for him. And I'm so happy for him because he genuinely seems like a nice bloke. And he's so young. He's been in this series for a while now. And to see him get that F2 victory and see where he goes from there, that's the interesting thing as well. Where does he head? He's not heading to Alfa Romeo for next year, or Sauber for next year, as it'll become. So where's he going to head? Whatever series he's going to be, whether it's Super Formula or whatever, I'm sure he'll do very well, because at the end of the day, he's bloody quick, and that's what counts most in motorsport.
100%. He was battling with Oscar Piastri and Felipe Drugovich over the seasons as well in Formula 3 and Formula 2. He had 2 retires and 10 podiums, as you mentioned, 1 win. He, all the 24 rounds, 19 of them, he got some point one way or another. That's 80% conversion nearly. That shows how consistent compared to Vesti, who actually had probably won the most amount of race wins the entire season. He just wasn't consistent throughout the season and it showed, but it was great to see watching him this season and even like how he speaks in press conferences as well. It was great, very humble and very, I remember when it was the winner's press conference as well, it was just still understanding I've actually won. He was just like still processing it all. And it was even after an hour after it happened. So to still walk away with it, I believe he probably will be the reserve driver for Alfa Romeo or Sauber, I should say, as he is backed by them. But when it comes to actual racing, it could be another situation that both Felipe Drugovich and Piastri have dealt with in their careers, which is really sad to see, which is why we need to get another team in to allow some of the drivers to gradually move up, because after F2, winning F2, you're hard stopped there at the moment with limited seats available. But we'll see. But if you've loved this podcast as well, we would love it if you would take 5 to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're one of the 72% of people who have not yet subscribed to the channel, please consider helping us out with a like, subscribe, share, or follow. Now, the season's over. What is your opinions? What has been your best moment? We will have a special episode of Formula Talk where we'll discuss everything of the F2 championship. But as a whole, if you could pick 3 words of the season so far, what would it be?
I don't know. I mean, I'm biased because I went to Silverstone and I thought that weekend was fantastic for the support series. There was a lot of rain. There was some very hectic races there. Yeah. The thing about F2 is that it's so competitive. You, with the absolute greatest respect to the guy, you had Ralph Bochon leading the championship after the first round of the season. And now you look at his results after that. He got a first and a second in Bahrain. After that, he hardly scored a point for the rest of the season, yet fell off a cliff. Like the 2013 Pirellis back in the day in terms of his performance. That's the thing. It's so unpredictable. And so you probably say something like unpredictable, exciting. I don't know. yeah, and intense. Let's just say that. Because there's always something happening. There's always something happening. It's not like you've got a Max Verstappen in this series. Like we just said, Porsche won one race this season. You've got Vesti who won 6 or whatever being right behind him. You've got people as far down as the likes of Bochong and Clément Novalak. Hello, Clément Novalak winning a race in Zandvoort. What the hell? Yeah. But the thing is, when you've got these equal cars, this can happen. You can get a driver who just hooks it up around a track and just takes it by storm and nobody compete with them. Nobody can understand why, that they're already spreading the champagne and lifting the trophy. So they don't care at that point. So that's what I'd probably say for F2 this year.
Yeah, to be fair, I've been watching F2 for the last couple of years, and I think this has been the most unique and interesting, I will say, because there were so many different battles and contentions, and it could have gone either way. We had records broken of Ollie Bearman winning almost all the points in one single weekend in Baku. I think that was probably one of my favorite moments of the season so far. You had different race winners, different podium different people on the podium. I think there's 12 to 13 different drivers on the podium at some point, one way or another. So it shaped out to be quite an interesting season, and it made it more interesting to watch compared to F1. And I hold my hand against that. I say this quite often. For those that think F1 is boring, watch Formula 2 and watch Formula 3, because these drivers are willing to get to F1 and they're willing to get their elbows out and be in that champion mindset and want to go racing and will do the moves that you won't see in an F1 driver, because like, oh, I'm in F1. Yes, I do want to win the driver's championship and the world championship, but I don't have anything to lose. Whereas these drivers in Formula 2 and Formula 3, they won. They've invested so much time and money and everything. So it's always great to watch. And even other series as well, you see it in even the lower divisions, Formula Regional, FRECA, Formula 4s, F1 Academy. I enjoy watching it a lot more than the F1 sometimes, because it makes, especially the tracks that are boring, class-wise boring, i.e. Barcelona, France, where we used to race there, it was always so interesting watching the support series there, because anything could happen, and I loved it. It was a great championship so far this season. Looking at the constructors, though, ART was able to win with 353 points, ahead of Prema with 322. Carling, with a big drop, finished in P3, finishing 220. Dams finished P4, 214. And Vitrosi finished P5 with 176. Noticeably, there was one constructor that didn't get any single point, and that is PHM Racing. However, they did have a lot of drivers that took place. I think they had 4 to 5 different drivers in one season come through at one point or another. Let's look at the standings for the drivers. As mentioned, Teo did win ahead of Vesti. Teo finished with 203 points. Vesti finished with 192. As mentioned again, Duen was able to take third with that win in the feature race with 168. Owasa, 165. And Victor Martins, 150. Again, making him the top rookie. Now, the top four have all left Formula 2 now, which is interesting, and a lot of them don't know where they're going. Teo, for example, the best is probably going to be back as, I wouldn't even say reserve driver, because that's still Mick as well, isn't it? Where would he go? I know he does sim developments. I see him on his Instagram all the time in the sim back at the factory, but where would he go?
You don't know at this point. This is the thing. You've got Super Formula seems to be a popular one where they send the guys out to Japan and they compete in that. Things like WEC, like we've mentioned before, not as popular because it's such a different discipline, although there's obviously a lot you can learn there. Formula E doesn't seem like something they want to do because it's almost a backward step, really, with the greatest respect to that series. It's a difficult one. It's a really tough one. And like we said, it's always been like this. There's always never been enough seats and stuff, but it seems particularly bad recently. But you have to just bide your time. Simple as that. You've got to bide your time. Pierre Gasly, he didn't get his shot in F1 immediately after winning F2.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
He had to wait half a season or so until, I think it was Carl Sainz left for Renault, and that opened the door for him at Toro Rosso back in the day. So you need to bide your time and be patient. But at the same time, if you just stick around, if you've not got serious backing, it's like you've got nothing to further to prove yourself, because F2 is the road to F1. So it says it is. That is like meant to be the direct feeder series, but it's just difficult. It's difficult for these guys to get on the grid. The only seat that's not confirmed in F1 as it stands is Logan Sargeant at Williams. He's most likely going to get it. So all 20 drivers in F1 will be racing for the same team as they did in 2023 in 2024, which is almost unheard of. And so you need to wait for somebody to do drastically bad and be lucky to get kicked out. And even then, it doesn't happen for you. You got Liam Lawson obviously getting a chance in AlphaTauri last year, but Daniel Ricciardo's going to be there next year, even though Lawson did a really good job. So it is really tough. I do feel for these guys, to be honest. It's like, where did they go? Because we're asking the questions. I don't even think they've got the answers.
Yeah, we have suffering news of some of these drivers moving around, but it is tough, especially some of them that have been waiting for opportunities for years. Especially has been in for, what, 3-4 seasons? You have Taylor that's in the second season. Obviously, he can compete. Bestie could have come back, but obviously, if you're racing the same seasons, or the same discipline each season, and say if you perform badly, could that also hinder your ability to get a seat for F1 as well? Like, I think Bessie is obviously the highest. I believe that he is one in the, not one, but stood in the championship. So this is a great season for him to have a foot in the door for F1. But if he was to do Formula 2 again next year and he finishes, what, P10? How bad would that hinder him getting into Formula 1 as well? Like, with drivers in Formula 1 having multiple year contracts, that also hinders as well. But yeah, some of the drivers moving. We have Jayhan, as mentioned before in previous episodes, he's moved to Formula E. Arthur Clarke, it's still unsure if he's going to be in F2. However, it is rumored that he would go to GT3, but that is not confirmed. Owasa has moved on to Super Formula for next season. He is backed by Red Bull for that as well. Clément Ovelac, who didn't race in Abu Dhabi, is also rumored to move to World Endurance after an impressive postseason rookie test in the LMP2 cars. He actually topped the timing sheets for that in the rookie test. Maybe it's a nice switch for him to have a Frenchman back racing in WEC as well. That'd be quite cool. But yeah, looking at the lineup confirmed and rumored so far, we have ART. Zach O'Sullivan has finally announced to race for ART. It's rumored after a great rookie year, Victor Martins will be joined. Prema, as mentioned, Kimi, moving from Freca after winning Freca this season, will be racing, jumping from Freca to Formula 2. George, I don't think I've actually asked you about that. What is your take of the move? Because Kimi's not the only one. We also have Josh as well, who finished P19 in Freca and is now moved to Formula 2. I understand Kimi, but with Josh, that's a big jump, and I don't understand how that's justified.
Maybe it's a bit of desperation from PHM because, like you said, they were the one team that didn't score any points this year. So maybe that is an odd one. That is a very odd one for sure. I don't know if he's got significant financial backing. I don't know if the entire state of Paraguay is behind him. I have no idea. It's a very unusual nationality to be in F2, but I'm all for it. I'm all for the variety, obviously. Yeah, it's an interesting one. You think that Paul Aaron's going to be there somewhere, especially after he ended the season racing in F2 in Abu Dhabi. You got to look at some of the other guys. Obviously, Bortoleto's come up. Cole Pinto's got up. O'Sullivan's come up. Marty's in there as well. There's a lot of drivers that are coming in from F3. Boganovic is going to be in F3, as I'm sure you were going to mention later on. So he's not moving up. So yeah, it's interesting to see who's going to be there because there's quite a few people leaving, like you said, and it's like, a lot of the people from other series that you don't normally see going into F2 will probably be getting a chance, but there's a lot of the grid still to be signed on. And I think that's partly because there's a lot of drivers in F2 this year that have been there for 3-4 years, getting on the older side of things by their standards. The likes of Nissani and Boshung and Deruvula to an extent. Those guys are leaving as well. Yeah, I'll be very interested to see who fills up the rest of the grid. I think it's going to be a very different grid to what we had in 2023. We're going to have a lot of drivers being rookies in this series coming into next year.
100%. I can't wait. Looking at the rest of the lineup, Prema rumored to be Ollie Bearman. He's still not confirmed yet. Carling has confirmed both of the drivers. Zay Maloney is retaining for his year with Carling. And also Super Formula winner, as mentioned in the last episode. I'm still trying to pronounce his name right. Tomorrow, Matata. I will get it by the time the season starts. He has moved to join into Carling after winning Super Formula. How do you pronounce his name, George?
Ritoma Miata.
I got the last name. It's just the first name throws me off a little bit.
Rotomo, yeah. You know what? I can't think of another guy who's come out of Super Formula to go into. I'd be very interested to see how he does. Imagine if he comes in and just absolutely wipes the floor of everybody. Imagine that. Best of luck to him, though. I think it's fantastic. I'm really interested to see how he does. And you got to imagine as well, because I'm just looking at this grid, there's a bigger mission here. Martin's not confirmed. You think he's got to be in there, surely. Rook of the year. I think he's a very heavy favourite to win the F2 championship next year. Oh, he's got to be. He's got to be. Fifth place. He's the highest placed returning driver, Martins. So he's got to be up there. He has to be.
I didn't think it like that. That even Ollie as well, finishing quite high in the standings. He's still not confirmed as well, but obviously it's rumored that he will stay with Prema next year.
You got to figure it's a no-brainer for the guy. It really has to be. He's so young as well. Like, he's another one. Ferrari have really got a good driver on their hands there. So yeah, talent coming through for sure.
Yeah, we got Jack Crawford, the other Jack, mentioned in the last episode that he is staying in Formula 2. We now know what team he has joined, and that is Dams. He is most likely replacing Owasa, as mentioned, moving into Super Formula. Rumored to join him, though, is Juan Manuel Correa. That will be his second full-time season in Formula 2, coming back after the tragic accident a few years back, but that is still not to be confirmed. Virtuosi, we have both of the drivers confirmed. We have Formula 3 champion and McLaren-backed Brazilian driver Gabriel Bortoleto, and Alpine-backed and mentored by two-time F1 champion Mika Hakkinen, Kushmani. Now, I'm happy to see Kushmani so consistent last season. He was also quite consistent this year without wins, but he was, for the first half of the season, was performing quite well. I will definitely get into that in the F2 episode, but I'm really happy he's backed now by an academy as well as staying in Formula 2. I think he could be a good contender as well for next season.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's fantastic as well. I genuinely thought that Deruvala a couple of years ago was going to be the guy from India to really take F2 by storm. It just seemed like it was going to happen. He just petered out, though, unfortunately for him. But mine is on the up. That guy could really do it. But I tell you what, he's got a very good teammate in Gabriel Bortoleto. I'll be fascinated to see how those two get on at Virtuosi next year.
Yeah, because Virtuosi doesn't race in Formula 3 as well, so it's going to be quite interesting to see what the relationship is as well, given that both of the drivers have left. MP Motorsport, Dennis Hauger, is staying for another year without Red Bull by his side. Franco Colapinto, the Williams Academy driver, joining him. Van Amersfoort, nothing yet. However, due to testing taking place right now in Abu Dhabi, it is rumored that Formula 3 driver Rafael Villagomez will move up for the next season, alongside Enzo Fittipaldi moving from Carling now, because obviously those seats are taken. I think that Enzo is still backed as well by Red Bull next season. It was rumored that both Enzo and Zane was going to be dropped from the Red Bull Academy, like some of the other drivers that have taken the announcements. But that I'm excited to see that's actually going to be a true one as well, because Enzo's been with Trident. He's been with three different teams, I believe, both in Formula 3 and Formula 2. And Rafael has been the staple of Van Amersfoort for Formula 3 for the last couple of seasons as well, since they announced that they were coming into Formula 3. So I think it's a great move for them to have somebody that's been the history with Van Amersfoort to move over. So be interesting to see. High Tech, we have nothing yet. It's rumored to be Paul Aaron, but it's a bit unsure. I think it's purely because of how well he performed in the High Tech in the Macau Grand Prix. Amory Cordiel, which I think is the biggest rumor mill so far this season, is potentially also going to High Tech. From Vitrosi, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see it, but we're seeing it in some of the social media posts and the rumor mills for it. But yeah, I think that's one of the biggest speculations so far. It might be true. Who knows? Campos, we have both of the drivers now, both backed by Red Bull. We have Isaac Hajar, and moving from Formula 3, as mentioned, Pepe Marti. That makes a lot of sense for Pepe, given that it is Spanish-backed, and he's also raced with Campos back in Formula 4 as well, so it'll be good to have him join in with that. Trident, both rumored, it is Roman Sanek. He has said that he wants to stay in Formula 2. but is unsure about seats and funding, and Richard Beshear is potentially retaining. Now, the biggest one, the biggest team to look out for, I think, because if this is true, it's going to be wild to watch, is PHM Racing. As mentioned, Josh Dickerson from Paraguay has moved from Freca to Formula 2. Because of this big jump, it is rumored that Ralph Beauchamp will return to race for PHM Racing. Now, he has been involved in Formula 2 in every single season at some point. However, two of the last seven seasons, they were not full-time campaigns, but he did race at some point. He will be the oldest driver at around 26, 27. Now, I guess because of experience and having somebody jump from such a big jump from Freca to Formula 2, having one of the most experienced drivers, whether or not they're good, that's a different kind of story, might help. But again, also moving to a team that's been very unstable for the last couple of seasons as well. It used to be Shrews as well, and they disappeared with the partnership. So what's your take on it, George? Because I think it's going to be the biggest thing to watch out for next season.
Yeah, for better or worse, I think you're right there. Beauchamp, oh my goodness me. He was one of the drivers where I was just saying, oh yeah, no, he's been around for ages, he's too old, he's leaving the grid, and then you hit me with that rumour. Yeah, it'd be very interesting. I do get the logic. I do understand where they're coming from with that. And it is difficult at the end of the day. But yeah, he has won races. He did win a race in 2023, Beauchamp. He's an F2 race-winning driver. No one could take that away from him. But consistently,
a couple seasons though to get the race when he had the longest gap of race wins as well, because he's been the oldest in the seasons.
Yeah, the Ricardo Patrese of F2, it's just, but the thing, sorry, that's a bit disrespectful. Patrese was a bloody good driver back in the day, but it's just one of them random, you see these random drivers just popping up. Oh, what's his name? Roberto Merri came back last year, didn't he? And it was just like, it's just like the Steve Buscemi meme, just like, how do you do, fellow kids? It's just, It's a random one. But at the end of the day, I do get it. But I don't, how old is Dirksen? Because before I saw his name pop up,
I want to say on he's 19.
He's 20. So he's young. He's young. Let's not get away from that. He is young, but it's a huge step up. That is a massive step up. Again, with the greatest respect to Dirksen, we should have seen the F1 Academy champion in F2 rather than him, with the greatest respect to the guy. I'm not going to go if you're really going to be serious about F1 Academy, which I know is a chaff team, as we've had our rants about that series over time, for them to go into Freca is, yeah, that it shouldn't be, this is not the timeline we should be in right now with this. This is not what should be happening. So I'll be fascinated to see, but given how bad that team was this year, I'm really not confident if those rumors are true.
I think funding will come into play 100%. I do understand because Kimi's point of view, because he has won. And he won by margin and did have a lot of poles and race wins. So I do understand he does have the skill. He's dubbed like the Mercedes Wonder Kid now because he has Mercedes backed and everything. But Josh finishing P19 in Freca, like that, to jump to Formula 2, that's, I feel like that's also disrespectful for a lot of the Formula 3 drivers who can't get into Formula 2 as well. I think that, and then obviously, as mentioned, with Marta Garcia coming in to Formula Academy, having to go to Freca, and then she still potentially has to do other Formula 4 races as well on top of Freca because of the season so far, and then moving into Formula 3. But wild. Speaking of Formula 3, though, not much news to talk about. We do have some interesting changes. As mentioned, all three premiers have still been confirmed. Nothing comes from there. However, Gregor Sarsi has decided to leave the realm of Formula Racing to go to World Endurance in the LMGT 3 class with United Autosports. I think that's a good move for him. He didn't win the championship. He faltered off and on through the season, and he was the most experienced Formula 3 driver this season. So I think it's a great move to maybe see about other disciplines. And who knows, maybe he might get a shot coming into Formula 2. But I think this is also a good move for him, for his career, because it seemed very stagnant with not much progression. Who else? Oh, Charlie Woods, son of F1 driver Alexander Woods. And I'm pronouncing his last name wrong, I think. He has announced that he is driving in Formula 3 next year and will be driving for Genza. This is off the back of an interesting Macau Grand Prix where he was racing in Formula 3, non-point championship. Interesting to say, he's the only driver from Genza to be announced so far. But yeah, four drivers of the grids only announced. We still have testing's coming up very soon as well in the new year, so no doubt the next couple episodes will be a whole bunch of F3 announcements more than the F2 announcements. But what's your take on Formula 3 not having much of the announcements done so far?
I think it's probably a bit of a knock-on from F2 not having a lot of their grids set, because a lot of these guys, if you were one of these young kids in F3 and seeing how many of your fellow people in the series have gone up to F2 for next year, you'd be holding out. You'd be like, well, it could be an interest from these guys or whatever. So I think it's probably just a knock-on from that. As soon as the F2 grid is set or mostly set, I imagine these guys will be like, oh yeah, no, I always wanted to sign with you. I promise. I didn't want to go to F2. No, I wouldn't stay here with you guys. I love you. I promise. We're expecting a lot more of the grid. And it's a massive grid. I think there's 30 cars on the grid, something like that. So there's a lot of seats, 26 seats still to decide. So a lot of these guys who are not signed up to F2 or of a series are going to be re-signed. The likes of Seb Montoya, I imagine that's a name that I love from growing up, obviously from his dad. Saucy, like you mentioned as well, I think that's a fair enough move for him. I will miss him purely on the fact that I love his last name. I just absolutely love the fact his last name is Saucy. I think that's fantastic. And I hope we see Christian Mansell back as well. I'm sure it's something you've probably mentioned at some point. The fact that he is diabetic and racing in F3, I think that is wonderful. And in his own words, they've corrected his flag now. He is Australian officially in the championship, because I actually thought he was British and then he opened his mouth just, oh, you are definitely not from around here. So they managed to correct that now because I remember just before one of the press conferences in Silverstone, he had some very choice words about them not doing it. So I've got an Australian license. What are you doing? Basically, probably not a nice term. Yeah. We'll see a lot of these guys re-sign for next year, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can't wait. Even when it was announced about Joshua, if you look on Wikipedia or even online, it looks like the Dutch flag as well a bit. It's different format, but a quick glance, it's the same colors, but obviously Paraguayan flag has a symbol in the center, but obviously if the image is so small, it goes a little bit unnoticed. So it's quite interesting to see. But yeah, I'm excited for the seasons. I think we're going to get a lot more Freca drivers moving up. It's the biggest roadmap moving from Freca Formula 4 into Formula 3 and Formula 2. Maybe even some of the old F1 Academy drivers might even get those seats, which that'll be even worse, I think, for the champion having to start from Freca. But if money talks, unfortunately, that's how it is sometimes. We do also have some F1 Academy news, but we will discuss it in our next episode as we're waiting to hear some more of the lineups. But yeah, Formula Talk is available on YouTube, where episodes are posted after our recordings. You can also catch us on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Casts. Just search F1 Grid Talk for our back catalog of our previews, reactions to qualifying race results in Formula 1, and also for the episodes of Formula Talk. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And also make sure you are subscribed and following us so you're the first to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back soon with plenty more of Formula Talk content. We still have to cover the F1 Academy season as a whole, the Formula 2 season as a whole, Formula 3. And also, we got some racing coming up quite soon. Formula E starts in January as well, so we'll have some content to start in the new season. But definitely take a listen. We're still going to be posting episodes in the off season, so make sure you are following us. But we'll be back soon with plenty more content. Thank you, George, for joining me as always.
My pleasure, Sophia. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for listening. Bet Online is our sponsor for Formula Talk.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you, Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.